And now stay tuned for the program that has rated tops in popularity for a longer period of time than any other West Coast program in radio history.
I don't believe it. I don't believe a word of it.
Welcome to Rapidly Rotating Records, an hour of toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s with yours truly, Glenn Robison. We've got dance bands, hot bands, sweet bands, show tunes, novelty tunes, blues, jazz, and more on everything from Aeolian to Xenophone and by everyone from Aronson to Zerke. On this evening's all-birthday show, we'll feature Ted Weems, Von DeLeef, Vincent Eumanns, Frank Banta, and several others. Last week, September 26, marked the birth in 1901 in Pitcairn, Pennsylvania, of bandleader Ted Weems. While in high school, he played violin in the West Philadelphia Symphony, and while attending the University of Pennsylvania, played trombone in the dance band. He had been an engineering major, but by the time he finished college, he was set on a musical career and formed his own band around 1922, along with his trumpeter brother Art, playing at a Philadelphia cafe for over a year. He began recording for Victor in 1923 and had a hit from his very first session with Somebody Stole My Gal. He toured mainly around the Midwest, appearing at Kansas City's Muehlbach Hotel, but he also got booked at the Marine Ballroom at Atlantic City's Steel Pier. Joe Hames contributed many arrangements for the band in the late 20s, including the charts for the hit Piccolo Pete. Singers with the band in the 30s included Parker Gibbs, Red Engel, Country Washburn, and Elmo Tanner, and Perry Como got his first big job with the band in 1936. The band was featured on radio in the 30s on shows including the Jack Benny Program, the new Fibber McGee and Molly Show, the Alamite Show, and Beat the Band. The orchestra disbanded in 1942 when Weems joined the Merchant Marine, but he formed a new band in 1945 and had a hit in 47 with a reissue of Heartaches, which had been recorded in 1933. In the mid-1950s, Ted Weems himself became a disc jockey, but by 1960 he was an executive with Holiday Inn Hotels. In 1963, he suffered an asthma attack, which put him in a hospital in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where he died on May 6th at age 62. Here are three from Ted Weems, starting with that first hit. Thank you.
I'm nervous as can be, said little Mary to a friend she knew. Oh, you would be delighted and feel the same as me if someone introduced him to you. If the first time we've met, he's the kind you can't forget. He's tall, dark, and handsome. Though I don't know his name or the place from whence he came, he's tall and dark and handsome. He had that brand of kisses you'd adore. I never thought they kissed that way before. He's the type that makes you feel that he's too good to be real. He's tall and dark and handsome.
I didn't know there was a song written about me. That was Parker Gibbs on April 3rd, 1928, with He's Tall, Dark, and Handsome, written by Al Sherman and one of the Tobias brothers. Oh yes, Charlie. Before that was the musical theme for the 1924 silent film Good Bad Boy. That was Who Wants a Bad Little Boy. Joe Burke composed the tune, and the vocalist probably didn't have any trouble remembering the words since it was Mark Fisher, and he wrote them. We started off with Ted Weems' first hit, Somebody Stole My Gal, recorded November 20th, 1923. Somebody Stole My Gal was written by Leo Wood, who also brought us Every Night I Cry Myself to Sleep Over You, My Mother's Humming Lullaby, and That's What God Made Mothers For. I'm Glenn Robison, and you're listening to Rapidly Rotating Records, bringing you vintage music to which you can't not tap your toes from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s. Last week, September 26, marked the birth in 1894 in Mount Pulaski, Illinois, of Leonore Vanderleith. You may know her better as the First Lady of Radio, or the original radio girl, Vanderleith. At age 12, she moved to Los Angeles with her mother and sister, and after finishing high school, enrolled at Mills College, where she began writing her own songs and pursuing a singing career. Vanderleith had a wide vocal range, from soprano to a low-pitched crooning style, and in January of 1920, she sang Swanee River on perhaps the first radio broadcast of a live singing performance from Lee DeForest's studio in the World Tower Building at 40th Street and Broadway in New York. In 1923, she became station manager of New York radio station WDT, where she not only performed but also arranged for live performances by other artists. Her recording career began in 1922, primarily for Edison, and she made her last recording on the Crown label in 1931. In 1923, she appeared on Broadway in Laugh, Clown, Laugh, starring Lionel Barrymore, in which she played an opera singer. She appeared regularly on The Wrigley Show during 1926 and 27, and was the featured female vocalist on the debut broadcast of The Firestone Hour on December 3, 1928. On May 3, 1924, she married Livingston Gear, a portrait painter which accounts for the pseudonym of Gloria Gear on some of her recordings. In the mid-1930s, Kate Smith adopted Vaughn's billing as the First Lady of the Radio, but DeLeith successfully sued and obtained an injunction against Smith's use of that title, after which she went back to her title of Songbird of the South, at least until DeLeith's death. Vanderleith continued to work in radio right up until her death on Thursday, May 27, 1943, at the Hotel Statler in Buffalo, New York. Here's Vanderleith.
Redskin, boy of my dreams, take me back to silvery streams, where through the wildwood in childhood we wandered, songbirds winging and singing to you and me love's melody. Redskin, redskin, let us return, where bright twilight welcome fires burn. With happy hearts we'll go roaming, I'll whisper in the gloaming, I love you, Redskin, love you. Thank you.
Thank you.
do you know? There's another song that was obviously written about me. Hello, cutie. That was Ken Sisson and his orchestra. Ken, like my name, with not one N, but two, from their first recording session for Brunswick on March 16, 1927. That was also issued on the Vocalion label as by the New England Ramblers. Before that, Vaughn was backed by Jay's Chelsea Orchestra on April 27, 1927, on Walter Donaldson's At Sundown. The director of that session was Frank Black, and Jay's Chelsea Orchestra was also used as a pseudonym on Vocalion for Abe Lyman and Isham Jones. We began our tribute to Vaughn DeLeith with not the most politically correct song, although maybe she was referring to a Washington baseball player. That was Redskin from January 26, 1929. The band was Louis Katzman and the Brunswick Orchestra, who also recorded an instrumental version of Redskin in that same session, but it was rejected. Rapidly Rotating Records is now on Facebook. If you're already on Facebook, simply enter Rapidly Rotating Records in the Facebook search box in the upper right-hand portion of the screen, and the link to our fan page will appear in a drop-down box. If you're not already a member of Facebook, you can find a link to the public fan page at our website, www.rapidlyrotatingrecords.com. I hope you'll check it out and become a Facebook fan of the show. Last week, September 27th, marked the birth in New York City in 1898 of composer Vincent Eumanns. His father was the owner of a chain of haberdasheries, and Vincent started piano lessons at age four. He enrolled in Sheffield Scientific School at Yale University, but quickly found out he had no interest at all in engineering, and left to join a Wall Street brokerage for a short time. He first began composing while in the Navy during World War I, where one of his songs was heard and then used by John Philip Sousa in his band concerts. In 1927, that song was renamed Hallelujah, and it was a hit in the Broadway musical Hit the Deck. After his discharge from the Navy, Eumanns embarked on a musical career, working as a pianist and song plugger for the Harms Music Publishing Firm. He first became interested in writing for the musical stage while working as a rehearsal pianist for Victor Herbert. His first Broadway show tune, with the lyric by Ira Gershwin, was Who's Who With You, and was in the 1918 show From Broadway to Piccadilly. His first complete Broadway score was 1921's Two Little Girls in Blue, and he also wrote the film score for the Bing Crosby Bob Hope picture Flying Down to Rio. Vincent Eumanns died of tuberculosis in Denver, Colorado on April 5, 1946, at just 48 years of age. Here are three from the pen of Vincent Eumanns. Thank you. Well, I played three records in that Vincent Heumann set, but you actually got six tunes because each of those records introduced another tune in addition to the main one. The practice was common in the late teens and early 20s as a way of selling sheet music and records by introducing another song to the listener of a particular record. Not unlike Amazon.com's People Who Bought This Also Bought, or You May Also Be Interested in This, That, or the Other. We started off with Toodaloo, introducing Stick to Your Knitting by Vincent Heumann and Herbert Stothert. Both of those songs are from the three-act musical Mary Jane McCain, which opened at the Imperial Theater on Christmas Day of 1923 and ran for 151 performances. Toodaloo was performed there by the Columbia house band The Columbians on January 7, 1924. Next was two tunes from the show Oh Please, which opened at the Fulton Theater on December 7, 1926, and closed a couple of months later after 75 performances. We heard Like He Likes Me, introducing Nicodemus, performed there by Waring's Pennsylvanians on December 8, 1926. Like He Likes Me was written by Heumann and Ann Caldwell. Ann Caldwell also wrote the lyrics to Sing Song Girl from the show Good Morning, Dearie, which is not to be confused with the 1930 Joseph McCarthy James F. Hanley song of the same name recorded by Leroy Shield, and which is one of my Desert Isle discs. We finished up with I Want to Be Happy, introducing You Can Dance with Any Girl at All. Both of those were written by Vincent Heumann and Irving Caesar and are from the musical comedy No No Nanette, which also featured the pair's Tea for Two. This recording was by Austin Wiley's Golden Pheasant Orchestra around September 25, 1924. Austin Wiley's Territory Band was based out of Cleveland, Ohio, and most internet sources guess his birth as 1893, but I did a bit of sleuthing and found out he was actually born on December 22, 1893. I'm Glenn Robison, and the show is Rapidly Rotating Records. We're here each and every Sunday evening at 6 on KISL, Avalon, and available on demand anytime at all online at rapidlyrotatingrecords.com and on iTunes as a podcast. Yesterday, September 28th, marked the birth in 1897 in New York City of pianist Frank Edgar Banta. His father was studio pianist, composer, and arranger Frank P. Banta, who unfortunately died before the younger Banta even began taking piano lessons. He was a natural talent, and by age 17 he replaced Felix Arndt in Fred Van Epp's trio and began his recording career at age 18. In addition to a solo contract with Victor and Six Sides for Plaza as Jimmy Andrews, Banta made a number of piano roles for Duo Art and Melody. He was in great demand as a studio pianist, accompanying the likes of Rudy Weedoff, Frank Crummett, Billy Murray, and Henry Burr. Last time we spotlighted Frank Banta, we played three of his own compositions, Prudy, Dorothy, and Upright and Grand, but here he is at the keyboard. Thank you. Last time we spotlighted Frank Banta, I played his August 1923 recording of Upright and Grand with the Ambassadors, but there you heard his composition played with drummer David Grupp, who were credited on the label of that Apex 78 as Jenkins and Johnson. I have no idea why, and I didn't have time before the show to ask Alex Hassan, who wrote the liner notes for the Rivermont CD of Frank Banta. But I'll see Alex at the upcoming West Coast Ragtime Festival and ask then. Before Upright and Grand, it was Dancing Fool from early July of 1922. Somewhere in all those piano notes, you heard Frank Banta, but they were all mixed in with notes played by pianist Cliff Hess. Composer and pianist Cliff Hess was born in 1894 and wrote the Homesickness Blues. There's a nice YouTube video of a piano roll of the Homesickness Blues played by Pete Wendling, and Nora Bays recorded Homesickness Blues in 1916. Marion Harris also recorded it. I may have a segment topic here. We started our tribute to Frank Banta with the Van Epps Banta Trio on a February 1920 Pathé 78 with Left All Alone Again Blues, introducing Goodnight Boat. Left All Alone Again Blues was written by Jerome Kern and is from the three-act musical The Night Boat, which opened at the Liberty Theater on February 2, 1920 and ran for a whopping 313 performances. The Night Boat also included the dance specialty, Quaddle Quiver Quickstep. And I include that little piece of information just so I can say the word Quaddle Quiver. Quaddle Quiver Quickstep was composed by Edward P. Jones. And if they did the Quaddle Quiver on Dancing with the Stars, I might watch it. Now just try and name another vintage music radio program anywhere on the planet where you're going to hear the word Quaddle Quiver, other than right here on Rapidly Rotating Records.
This is KISL-FM 88.7 Avalon, and you're listening to Glenn Robison's Rapidly Rotating Records, toe-tapping music from rapidly rotating 78 RPM records of the 1920s and 30s.
A number of other artists and composers had birthdays this past week, and in the final segment of the show, we'll highlight as many of them as we can. Here's Frank Crimmett.
I just take care of my affairs, and that keeps me occupied. I'm minding my business, I'm busy all the day long. Just minding my business and going along. I know it's nobody's business, no how, whatever I do. Somehow it's none of my business what happens to you. For instance, Rockefeller never tried to make a car, still he's doing fine. And Henry never fooled around with Standard Oil, because it's not in his line. I declare their mind and their business, I know they never go wrong. And so I'm minding my business, yes, going along. But what he is, and if he lets me have my way, then I let him have his. He has a great big car, but but I don't mind at all. It may be twice as big as mine, but mine is twice as small.
Thank you. driving me wild, 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 driving me wild. I used to be mild, but she's driving me wild. The day that I met this pet, I realized no other girl could put my brain in such a whirl. Wherever she goes, she's got plenty of bones. Such round little cheeks, eyes, lips, oh, what a nose. And when she struts by the jail, those inside fight for bail. No wonder I'm riled, 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 she's driving me wild.
Frank Crumet was born September 26, 1889. We heard him on December 21, 1923 with The Virginians, directed by Ross Gorman, and Mindin' My Business. Gus Kahn wrote the words and Walter Donaldson the music, and The Virginians recorded an instrumental version a few weeks later on February 5, 1924. Next, it was Fred Waring's Pennsylvanians once again with The Collegiate Raspberry, Any Ice Today, Lady? From June 2, 1926. The band's arranger, Pat Ballard, wrote Any Ice Today, Lady, and he was known as the man who wrote a song a week with Fred Waring. And we finished up with a terrific record, She's Drivin' Me Wild. That was Don Bester and his orchestra on August 4, 1925. Unfortunately, the vocalist is unidentified, but Buddy Fields and Gerald Marks wrote She's Drivin' Me Wild. The Georgia Melodians recorded She's Drivin' Me Wild acoustically the year before, but not nearly as enthusiastically as Bester's outfit. Don Bester was born September 23rd, 1889. I'm Glenn Robison, and you've been listening to Rapidly Rotating Records. I hope you'll click in or tune in again next week, and as always, I thank you for your very kind attention. Thank you.